Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
All right, Bill Bartholomew here with you for another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast, where today I welcome Patty Watson, owner of Taste Design in Middletown, for a conversation on the impact of inflation on small businesses, both on a national scale, but specifically here in Rhode Island, where there are a lot of nuances that make this an extremely challenging moment for small businesses. Obviously, you know, small businesses are the backbone of Rhode Island's economy in so many different ways, and this is a really challenging moment. I mean, let's be clear about it. So glad to have Patty here on the podcast for that discussion. I'd also be remiss if I didn't thank you guys out there for your patience this week as I've navigated some crazy IT challenges. Last Saturday, my computer just went into like a total meltdown. And for the past week, it's been, you know, it's been tough. And I know some of you have probably noticed the audio quality, including today's interview, is well below our typical standards. I had to figure out kind of on the fly how I was going to make the show work this week. And I want to thank you guys for being patient with that, as well as the guests. We're back in business, recording going forward. We're looking good. I was able to retrieve a lot of my data, but, the lesson that I learned is definitely back your stuff up. No question about it. But it was a bit of a challenge this week being without the studio here, and I appreciate my friends over at WPRO, where eventually I was able to get into that facility and do some of the work over there. But for the beginning portion of the week where I recorded the episode with Lieutenant Governor Matos, today's episode with Patty Watson, and one other episode with Jocelyn Foy of the Women Project, I did them from home in sort of this, you know, MacGyvered rig. And I appreciate everybody's patience with that. But we're back in business. I want to thank my sponsors, Pure Vita Labs. Visit purevitalabs.com. Commonwealth Care Alliance, bringing uncommon care to Rhode Island. And PVD Fest. I'm playing at PVD Fest, actually kicking off the Saturday, 2 p.m., right in downtown Providence on one of the big stages. I'll be performing there. Some of the songs that I've been working on in the new recording, the new record that I've been making since January that I thought I had lost when my computer crashed, and a whole bunch more. So always appreciate you as well. Send me an email anytime, bill@ripodcast.com. Going to be mixing things up here a little bit as I, you know, always try to keep things fresh, some new production. I'm starting to get your emails that are on very general topics, but I want to bring that interaction to the show a lot more. So again, it's bill@ripodcast.com. I'm going to start reading your emails on the air as we move forward here, especially into political season proper, which I think we're in actually right now, right? You know, lots coming up here in the next couple of weeks. There's another gubernatorial forum next Friday. I'll have full coverage of that. We're seeing, after a poll was released earlier this week, we're seeing some significant well, I guess some predictable stuff in terms of the numbers where candidates in the gubernatorial race and the congressional race are sitting, and it's going to be really interesting to monitor their ad buys over the next month, so I'll be assessing that. We'll be getting into conversations with some people on the marketing side of things. Lots ahead here on B-Town. Remember to tell your friends and subscribe and support the podcast for as little as $3 per month by visiting patreon.com/BartholomewTown. All right, so today we have a discussion on something that is definitely on just about everybody's radar screen in one way, shape, or form right now. Broadly speaking, inflation, and specifically findings in a report that really tailored to small businesses, but as a result trickles down to or up to all of us. And joining us today is someone who I think can
give us a little insight into that, and it's Patty Watson. So Patty, if you wouldn't mind just sort of setting the table, introducing yourself, and let's get right into the findings of the report.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Bill. I am the founder and principal of Taste Design. We're a 15-person interiors firm based in Middletown. This is the 18th year of the business, so we've made it through the ups and downs, first 2008 and now 2020 and beyond. So we're an end-to-end interiors firm, so that means that we're working early in a project with fellow professionals like architects and builders and landscape architects to conceive a home, usually a custom home, and then work throughout that project to design and then produce that home as well. And the produce part is particularly important right now because we know it's harder than ever to actually bring something from your head into the home and fully produce it. So therein lies some inflation challenges and labor shortages and supply chain issues is really in that part of the business. The design part of the business is strong and doing very well. It's the producing part that we see the most amount of challenge right now.
Well, let's talk about the findings of this Goldman Sachs 10,000 business-oriented report. Let's get into the broad conversation, which is inflation right now. I mean, you go to the gas pump. I mean, it's almost become a generic talking point in some ways, inflation or gas prices or this, that, the other. But the reality is that it is happening. There's no question we're at inflation rates that exceed anything that I've seen in my lifetime and that really are somewhat disturbing. So how does that impact a business like yours?
Well, it impacts, I think, a smaller business so much harder than a larger business, right? Because our costs increase, we have to stay competitive, yet we can't really pass all of that on. At least I don't believe I can pass all of that on to my clients. My clients are already seeing increased costs in producing and designing and building that home. So to pass on even more costs to them starts to jeopardize my role in that venture. So I am trying to, like any small business person, absorb as much as I can while remaining competitive and keeping the workflow coming into the organization. So I think it just magnifies the problem when you're a small business.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, obviously as a larger firm, you can procure things in bulk, or even, and oftentimes you may have already procured whatever materials well in advance of this spike that we've seen. And if you're an individual, there's ways to just sort of hacks that you can sort of, economically try to survive, quote unquote, this moment. But that small business zone, it is really difficult to just see a pathway forward if inflation continues to climb, or even if we enter a period of stagnation where we see this, really imbalanced or awkward relationship of currency to goods and services.
Yeah, it's, and unfortunately there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. So the workarounds that we come up with really have now become long-term. And will increasingly so, I believe. So it's nothing that's going to go away anytime soon.
What have you specifically, talk about those workarounds, because other small businesses or anybody would probably be interested, not to give away trade secrets, but, what's your advice to anybody out there that's battling through this right now?
So it seems a little counterintuitive, but keeping the talent that we have is so important right now. We're a service-based business, so to be able to retain that talent is incredibly important. So in the face of rising costs, we're also increasing our compensation packages and our benefits packages. So January 1st, we unveiled for our team here a very customized benefits program, so they get to pick and choose what's right for them. So if they need increased funds for childcare, they can allocate it totals to over $5,000 a year in your benefits they get on top of their salary. So they get to pick and choose where they want to use it. For some of my younger staff members with small children, they're allocating that to childcare. For some of my older ones who are kind of past that point in their lives, they're allocating that to their savings and to their 401k. So we're trying to keep the talent we have. We're trying to retain retain those people, all of that creative goodness that I've been building for the past several years, and then we're trying to retract as well. So it's in the face of inflation, then we've got rising costs as well. So the workaround to that is just look internally at where we can cut costs here, and then in turn reallocate those funds back to programs to keep that talent so that we keep delivering good service.
Yeah, that's something that is, you know, you can't procure very easily these days. Talent and talent that is high quality, but that also systemically knows your business and knows from everything from a customer service perspective to implementing what you led off with, which is so difficult, taking a creative moment in someone's heart or brain and putting it into the real world. So that's a challenge that I'm sure a lot of firms are facing right now is, you know, there's a lot of conversation around staffing and so on and so forth, and, oh, we can't get help, you know, whatever it may be. But more specifically, and especially in an organization like yours or small business like yours, people that, that know what's going on, that want to stay in that business and basically need additional compensation in order to just be able to sustain their life as they know it.
Exactly. And we've had very little change in staffing in the past 6 months, but the few that we have been post-COVID, family-related. I need to move back closer to my parents to help care for the little ones that I have. You know, me and my husband are trying to, I'm speaking, you know, as a staff member, trying to run, you know, a household. We both have full-time positions. We're professionals, but we need more childcare support. So they're making moves out of the state to be back with mom and dad and grandparents so that they can get that additional help they need. And by the way, you know, my next wave here is going to be, how do people care for their aging parents as well? You know, the other end of the life spectrum. We're going to have the same problem here in a few years with staff members here really needing to take that primary caregiver role.
Yeah, it really is definitely an emerging, hopefully not crisis, but emerging something that is going to be requiring a lot of attention, something that in the wake of COVID we've seen, I don't know what the numbers are, this is completely anecdotal, but I imagine that some congregate care facilities are going to see less residents as a result of people saying, hey, wait a minute, I'd rather, whether it's bring in an elderly parent into my home or just somehow keep them out of the nursing home. That's going to increase more and more. And here in Rhode Island, we have an aging population that is, it's really important for businesses and employers, I suppose, to be aware of that needs to be factored in.
Yeah, it does. And out of my 15 staff members, I'll tell you that 14 are women. And we all know that women are kind of the first responders. I see more help from their male spouses when they're raising their little ones than I do later in life. I think parent care really comes a little bit more and falls a little bit more on the women in the family. Small child care, I see the men stepping up and doing their, you know, fair share and more. But elder care is a little bit different. So I think we need to stay ahead of that one.
Tailoring to Rhode Island and specifically Aquidneck Island, I mean, look, it's not, you know, it's not the international space station here in terms of being able to get supplies versus the quote unquote mainland, but there is a little bit of an increase in gas prices that I've noticed. I was in Newport both Saturday and Sunday. I had to fill up yesterday. It was definitely, I think, 10, 15 cents more per gallon. Again, it's not even Block Island in the sense of trying to get supplies out there, but what are you noticing right now that is kind of the on the ground in the moment biggest challenge or price increase result of inflation that's impacting you on an acute level being a Middletown-based business?
So it's definitely gas prices. I have many of my staff members coming from Warwick, East Greenwich, yep. North Kingstown, they're feeling it. They're absolutely feeling that rising gas price. So I'm keeping an eye on that for them. And then, of course, we have a housing problem here on Aquidneck Island, right? So they can't live here closer to work and benefit from that shorter commute because they can't afford to live here. Yeah. So we need more affordable housing options, just middle-income affordable housing options as well here in Aquidneck Island. So it's being able to buy a home here, and it's being able to rent year-round here on Aquidneck Island. We all know it is the problem of the moment, and we're starting to see it turn, but I'd say we've got another whole year cycle before some of those year-round rentals free up here for some of my staff.
It's absolutely shocking, and you know, I was in Newport myself from, I guess, 2017 to about 2018. And I caught the tail end of what was sort of this moment artistically where there were a lot of artists who had moved to the island or who had lived there. I had moved there. I grew up in Rhode Island, but I moved to Newport after 10 years in New York and was a part of this really thriving artist community. A lot of makers, a lot of people getting into tech. We had people working on really interesting robotics projects. So it wasn't just like the musician doesn't have a day job or something like that scene. It was a very wide scene that has almost entirely been eviscerated because of a lack of housing. That's one phase, but now you get to the point where you have people in middle income, upper middle income, working in various sectors that are unable to live on Aquidneck Island. And with gas prices and everything else, boy, that is unsustainable.
Yeah, it's really a challenge. And I moved this business from Jamestown to Middletown, so I'm just that much, that many fewer and more miles away for my staff members. We had to move here. We outgrew our space, thankfully. So it's still a smart move, but one that has implications to it.
In the last couple of minutes here, what would you like to see from a municipal level, state level, federal level in terms of intervention right now that makes sense, that doesn't set dangerous precedents, but also makes sense to just navigate this moment? Is there anything programmatically that could be implemented that you'd call on, whether it be, again, your local state representative? I don't know if it's Deb Ruggiero, who it may be in terms of on the Senate side. I'm not sure who it would be. DePalma, perhaps. Is there anything they can do? And again, working our way up to the Biden administration.
Yeah. So I'm thankful that Gina's got her eye on this for us in Washington, for yeah. sure, because it's amazing. Yeah, we're a small business on a small island, but we do so much procurement of goods and services, primarily goods, miles and miles and miles and countries away. So what it takes to produce an entire home, to get it from our head into that home, is so much harder than it used to be. So, for example, I have doubled my production team in the last 3 months. So I went from two people responsible for estimating, proposing, procuring, inspecting, installing all those goods into a home. Went from two people to four people. And that's not because the business has grown, it's because it's taken that much more labor and effort because of all of these other sort of global issues. So for example, we can find out that those goods are on a shelf in a warehouse before we're proposing that selection to a client, only and receive a ship date, only to find out a few days before someone's ready to install those goods, oh no, they weren't on the shelf in the warehouse as we thought. And that's really because they don't have the warehouse staff to manage their inventory levels the way they used to. So the information that we're getting is bad. That means a reselection and you start that process all over again. Things get delayed. And you're managing and absorbing the expectations of your client, to smooth that out. It takes twice as many people as it used to. So figuring this out on a global level, both the labor shortages in all of those related industries and the supply chain issues and the transportation issues to get it. Once you've got it in a warehouse and you know it's really there, then to get it from there to here, is a challenge every single day. So that's what we need. We need a real global impact and intervention on all three of those issues.
Yeah, it's like the University of Rhode Island's logo or slogan, rather, think globally, act locally, or whatever it is, or we think big. It really makes sense here right now, and there's no question it's a challenging moment for everybody, but as we discussed today, small businesses really feeling it. Patty Watson, thanks so much for your time, and best of luck to you. I look forward to seeing you on the island.
Thanks. Sounds good, Bill. Have a good day.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.